Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I entitled this message, Hanini, and that is a Hebrew expression for "Here I am, Lord." And sometimes it's just so eye-opening to look at original biblical language and the cultures behind some of the key passages and verses in the Bible. It's just so amazing to look at what they really meant in the original language. I just love doing that as a study. And then sometimes when you do that, you can look at the difference between literal and symbolic. There's a lot of symbolic language throughout the Word of God, and there's a lot of things that are literal. So a few years back, I got a call, the Clear Blue, from a friend of mine from high school, and hadn't seen him since high school. I've been out for a couple of years, but he says, "Hey, I heard you're a preacher." He said, "I got a question. I was studying Elisha," and he said, "I want to know, was it literal or was it figurative when he called out the bear and he mauled those kids?" And I said, "Do you ever ride your bike around your neighborhood?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you ever get chased by a dog?" He says, "Well, yeah." I said, "If that dog bites you, is it figurative or literal?" He said, "Thanks a lot." I haven't heard back from him since, but I was like, really, that passage? You're going to question that passage? I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But anyway, so many of us, we have a yes in our heart to the Lord. We want to do what the Lord is calling us to do. We want to be in that right place with the Lord. So, and many of us, just we can fill in the blank. We say, "Yes, Lord, I will do this for you. I will do that for you." And yes is a form of surrender to the Lord. And yes is saying, "I agree what you're asking me to do, Lord." And the definition of surrender is a yield to another's demand, to give up your claim to. Or surrender is also giving your power over to another. Or giving up something completely is surrender. But today, looking at "Here I am, Lord," and looking at that it's probably pronounced in Hebrew like "Hanini," I got to do that thing, you know. But it's a little deeper than the yes. It's a little bit deeper. It's a little bit deeper than surrender. Because the teaching of Hanini, so like in the Old Testament, if they would have said, we read "Here I am, Lord," but they would have said "Hanini" to the Lord. And what they're saying in that, this is the thing that I want you to hold on to for today. When they say that, it's, "You have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you?" So when they said, "Here I am, Lord," that's what they meant. "Here I am." It's, "You have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you?" So I want us to look at some biblical accounts of that. And then answer the question, have I really and fully said to the Lord, "Here I am, Lord"? Have you said to the Lord, "You have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you?" You know, we think of, "All I have is available to you." We think some of us use our homes, our cars, and finances and things for ministry for people. But yet, are there times when the Lord is wanting us to go a little deeper? So if we're co-heirs with Christ, then we have access to all that he has access to, right? So when we say, "Everything I have is available to you," so are we meaning that too? You know, everything that we have, including all that we have from the inheritance that we have in Christ, everything is out there, Lord. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you? So I want to look at some of the accounts. First one I want to look at is Abraham in Genesis 22. I'm going to read a little bit of a lengthy passage here, but it really sets it up. Because in this passage, it's where he goes to sacrifice Isaac, and three times he says, "Here I am." So verse 1 says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Hanini, here I am.' He said, 'Take you now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. He split the wood." So first of all, he said yes to the Lord And then he, so now he has to really act this out. So he's splitting the wood. I wonder what he's thinking about when he's splitting the wood for the sacrifice, for the burnt offering. And rose and went to the place of which the Lord had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go there. We will worship and return to you. This is the first place a mention of the word worship in the Bible. And so here he's going to go sacrifice his son. He's been on the journey for 3 days. Wonder what he's been thinking about for 3 days. So we'll worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. So now they have to travel to the rest of the place, and he puts the wood on top of his son, probably his shoulders. So here's Isaac having to carry the wood that is meant for him to burn him as a sacrifice. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. So when he said, here I am, my son, he said, you have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you? And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. There's so much in that whole passage. But, you know, I love that part where he says, we'll worship in return. You know, so, and at the end, the Lord is, you know, is this a huge test? You know, of course it's a huge test. But he passed. And, you know, those were probably 3 long days. Most of us would have been systematically trying to talk ourselves out of it. 3 days is a long day to talk, long time to talk yourself out of what the Lord is wanting you to do, especially if it's sacrificing your son. I don't think we can really fully grab our mind around that, of what he was really asking him to do. But then he passes that test. He was willing to do it because he said, when he said, all I have is available to you, that had to include his son. When he said, you know, you have my full attention, all I have is available to you, including my son that you gave to me, my promised one, what shall I do for you? The Lord said, sacrifice him. But then look at the blessing at the end of it all, that the Lord really greatly multiplied his seed and all the things that he did for him, that he promised him. So, you know, what does it come to us when the Lord is asking us and we say, here I am, Lord? What is the promise at the end of our obedience to that? So we need to look at that and say, what is, because there's always a promise at the end of our obedience, if we're obedient to the Lord, no matter what he's asking us to do. That's the hard part, no matter what he's asking us to do. You know, we can look at that passage and say, whew, glad that was Abraham. Glad he passed that test. That was good. I can learn from that. But, you know, I think there's some of us in this room that the Lord has asked us to do things and go places that we never imagined that we would ever do. Lay down jobs or just do things that the Lord has asked us to do and that we just never imagined. We never saw it happening. But we were willing to do that. The next one I want to look at is Moses in Exodus 3. 1-7, good old Moses in the burning bush. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw and that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am, Hanini. And he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for this place in which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. And I'm aware of this suffering. So then the Lord goes on to tell him that he's chosen him to be the deliverer of the people. And you know, when you read on in Moses, it's amazing that the Lord used a burning bush to get his attention. He says it's a holy place. But then, you know, Moses had to work it out with the Lord because he kept trying to disqualify himself to the Lord. You know, I'm not eloquent in speech. I can't do this. Who do I tell them that sent me? So, you know, how many times do we do that? Do we try to disqualify ourselves? When the Lord is asking us, especially if he's asking us something that we're really not comfortable in doing, we don't think we're equipped to do it, and we sit there and we try to give the Lord reasons to change his mind, that we're really not the people that he wanted us to do that for, so we try to do that. But it's amazing with Moses how he just kept working it out. And then he becomes an intercessor for the people. You know, the Lord was really not happy with the people of Israel. So then Moses had to really petition with the Lord to not destroy them. And then I love his fellowship with the Lord. You know, I don't think we can really fully grasp. I mean, no movie can depict it well. When he comes off the mountain and he is with, his face is glowing so much that they had to veil him. We can't even imagine that. I mean, movies, you know, I mean, it's a depiction of it. But I don't think we can really grasp it. You know, that's one of the DVDs, the Kingdom DVDs that I want when I get to glory. That's one of the stack. I want to see his face. What did that really look like, Lord? But, you know, so here is Moses saying, you know, here I am. And so did he really mean that? And when you look at the life of Moses and all that he went through, he was grappling with the Lord. But in end result, he did what the Lord was asking him to do. He worked it out. And then the next one I want to look at is Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. It happened at the time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Man, what a place to sleep. I'm telling you what, that Samuel got to lay there. He could stay there for a while. And that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's such a key part. He didn't know the Lord yet. So he wasn't sensitive to what the Lord's voice. Nor had the word of the Lord had yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he calls you, that you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Isn't that another way to say, you have my full attention? So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord gives instruction to Samuel about Eli and his family and everything. And it was just, but it was interesting how, you know, he was trained when someone said his name, to say, here I am. But he just had the wrong person. He thought it was Eli, who probably called him all the time. He was being trained in the temple. And so then here was the Lord. And then Samuel went on to be an incredible prophet. But speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know, and when I look at that, he was a young person. So even the young can hear the Lord, and even the young ones can fully submit to the Lord. I think we really need to look at this and how the young ones in our lives, our children and those around us, how amazing it is when they have fellowship with the Lord and they can hear the Lord. And it's just, it's an incredible thing. I remember one time, years back, Amy and Conan were running the children's ministry back when we were at the Forerunner place in County Road 113. And they wanted the little kids to come in and minister to the people. And there was a guy who sat in front of me and Nancy, and I, we didn't recognize him. He had a suit on, and he had his arms folded, and he really didn't look like he was enjoying much of anything. I was like, so we're kind of praying for him, and all of a sudden, the little kids were released to go around and pray for people. And this, I don't remember who she was, but it was this little, like, 3.5, 4-year-old little blonde-haired girl. She jumps up on the seat in front of him, and she says, "Can I pray for you?" And he says, "Okay." And she puts her hand right on his forehead, and she's standing in front of him. He just begins to weep, and he's broken before her. And he said he got some healing in that moment. And he sobbed for the longest time. And she was so uninhibited. I just thought it was really funny. She was like, right there, knew what to do. You know, and he didn't look like he was going to receive anything that day. But here was a little girl, obedient to the Lord. You know, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And he was undone. The man was undone in that moment. So I'm going to look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings, with 2 covered his face and 2 covered his feet, and 2 he flew. And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' And one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Hanini, here I am, send me,' he said." And so here is Isaiah answering the call to say, who will the Lord send to his people? He said, "Here I am." Because he saw the glory of the Lord, and he saw that. I mean, we can't even wrap our minds around that whole scene. It's just absolutely incredible. But, you know, in the presence of the Lord, you're going to be undone, and all your stuff is exposed, and you know who you are and what you, where you're not and who you're not. And all of a sudden, here was that whole thing, and then who will you send? And even in that place of him saying, "I'm a man of unclean lips," he still says, "Send me." Because in that moment, he says, "You have my full attention. This whole room, the whole glory, all these angels flying around, you have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you?" The Lord wanted him to go to the people. So he did. You know, it's just, it's an amazing thing when you see that. So what is, you know, we say yes to the Lord and we're obedient to the Lord, but that the whole thing of you having my full attention is so different. So I want to switch over to the New Testament, and let's look at Jesus. I want us to go to Hebrews 10. It's amazing because Jesus is quoted in Hebrews, but he's quoting from Psalm 40, Hebrews 10, 5 through 10, in the NIV. I want to read. "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. You have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you? It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' First," he said, "sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second, and by that will, you have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." So here Jesus is quoted in Hebrews, and then he quotes Psalm 40, and I just love how all that works together. But for him to be able to say, "Here I am," you know, and then it says, "We have been made holy because of his sacrifice for us. Because Jesus, you know, that whole thing where he says, you know, he's agonizing, Father, you know, can this cup pass from me? But not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus had completely surrendered to the Lord. He had, the Father had his full attention, and all that Jesus had was available to the Father. And what shall he do? He shall become the ransom for us. And we are holy because he was made holy, because he sacrificed that. And then the next one I want to look at is probably one of my top 1,000 favorite passages in the Bible, you know, top 1,000. But in Revelation 3, starting at 19 and 20, he says, to whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. So Jesus said, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. He says, here I am. You have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So Jesus is standing at the door wanting us to open it up for him. And so he has our, you know, full attention. He's knocking at the door of our hearts in this passage. So I want us to really answer that question. Does he have our full attention? You know, have we found a way to ignore the Holy Spirit when we're uncomfortable? You know, and sometimes we go so far as to quench the Holy Spirit if we ignore him long enough. And that's a rough place to be. But there's times, and does he have our partial attention? You know, does he get a little bit of our attention? You know, and then are we distracted Christians? You know, there's all the huff about distracted driving now. It's not just about texting. It's about being distracted about other things, you know, and then people are causing accidents. But are we distracted Christians? Are we busy being busy, doing busy, busy things for, we've lived busy lives, and are we doing this stuff? But are we doing exactly what the Lord has asked us to do? Does he have our full attention? You know, there was a city that was trying to pass an ordinance. They were going to hand out tickets for people who are walking and texting. They said they're distracted. They've walked into cars. They've walked in front of cars. People have been hurt in this city, and they've had enough. And they said they were going to pass this law. And everybody's going, just turn your phone off, you know. But they're so distracted. And as Christians, as ludicrous as that sounds, how distracted are we when the Lord is trying to get our attention? And what does he have to do to get our full and undivided attention? You know, and so sometimes I pray, Lord, use the least extreme means to get my full attention, right? You know, okay, Lord, I'm going to listen, but you please use the least extreme means. And then what are we saying when we say all I have is available to you? You know, some of you have given finances, your house, your car, your possessions, and, you know, and there's times when the Lord will meet us in that place. I remember there was a time when I think the furnace was on the fritz and the hot water heater went out and something went out in our car, and we found ourselves at the end of a month $1,200 behind. And so we took the bills and we laid on the table. We put our hands on it. We said, Lord, this is your house and this is your car, and they need to be fixed. So can you pay for these, Lord? This is your stuff. We've consecrated it to you, and it needs a little help. Well, that was when, and I told the story before, but that was like a half hour later. I was finishing up my time at Bethel College at the time, and I got a call from a new lady in the office. She said, hey, you don't know me. I'm new to the office, and I was just doing some random checks into some of the files. She said, did you know you had a scholarship here? I said, for what? She said, you carried a 4.0 for so many semesters, and so you have a scholarship. This is what the poverty mentality says. It's probably $50. I can't pay any bills, but I'll take Nancy out for a real good dinner, right? That's what the poverty spirit says. And I said, well, how much is it? She says, $1,200. And she said, and it was like 3 o'clock, and she said, you need to get here by 5, because if you don't get here, it's going to get rolled back into the college if you don't pick it up today. And I just got off the phone, and I was like, Lord, you knew that was there before we even laid hands on the bills and everything, you know, and I'm a new person randomly checking, you know, and how does she randomly check? So I'm running through all those scenarios in my mind thinking, man, how the Lord set that up. But, you know, so it's all that we have is available to him. And then I kind of laughed and said, wow, Lord, please forgive me for being kind of snarky at you, saying, this is your house and this is your stuff. You need to fix it, God. And I was like, you already knew that money was there. And just the things that he went through to be able to do that, because then all I have is available to him to be able to let him use that. And what about our calling and our and the ministries and the things that we do for him? You know, is that available to him? What if he asks us to go somewhere that we're really uncomfortable going? You know, what if he asks us to do that? What do we do in that moment? And better yet, what if he asks our children to do something that we're really not comfortable with? We don't really want them to go anywhere that, you know, maybe it's a little crazy out there or something. So what do we do with that? How do we say yes to Lord? When your child is saying yes to Lord, do we agree with them? That's a hard place for many parents have been in. And then, you know, what's holding you back from saying, you know, hey, Nini, to the Lord, you have my full attention. All I have is available to you. And then what shall I do for you? In complete submission, what is the Lord asking you to do today? You know, what's he asking of you? Is he asking you anything different than he's already asked you? You know, can you trust him in that? You know, he's asked people to smuggle Bibles and go into different places and do things around the world that to put their lives in danger. It's absolutely amazing some of the things that the Lord has asked people to do. And the way that they've gone and how the Lord has ministered to them. And yeah, there's a lot of martyrs and there's a lot of people that have lost their life in obedience because they said, yes, Lord, I'll do this. And knowing that that's a possibility, but they've gone anyway. But there's others that have put their lives at risk and the Lord has cloaked them and the Lord has hidden them from the enemy and done things. And it's absolutely amazing the things that the Lord will do. So, but he's looking for us to say, you know, you have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you? You know, even in the state of everything in your life, you know, your finances, your health, your relationships, even your good or poor decisions, tragedies around you, you know, there's a lot of times when we're like before the Lord and we're, you know, we want to disqualify ourselves from being fully given over to him. We want to say, you know what, I'm not healthy enough, or this has happened in my life, you know, that he wants us to be able to move forward with him. But we try to disqualify ourselves because this or that, whatever reasons that we have, you know, we try to do that all the time before the Lord. But, you know, when we get to that place and we say, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? You know, and, you know, I love it when the Lord really calls us sometimes to pray for people when we least expect it. I know that as many of you are a part of John's team and Steve, and you go do treasure hunts and you pray for people. And many of you do that wherever you're at. You know, you pray for people. And some of us are uncomfortable with that. It's like, Lord, can you, boy, look at that lady over there, Lord. Can you send somebody to pray for her? Yeah. So I was in Kroger's the other day just picking up some lunch meat. And the Kroger's in Western Avenue, it's pretty crowded over by the deli. And so I'm standing over by the I'm thinking of my parents because I'm standing over by the fried chicken. I always used to get them fried chicken from Kroger's. And there was two moms there, and they had their kids, and they're running around. And so I had to go clear around them to go look at the price of something I wanted. Then by the time I came clear back, this other guy had come up, and the gal said, who's next? And he said, well, I am. I said, well, I think I was. And I said, well, that's all right. And this gal defended me. She said, oh, no, he was. She's pointing at me. She goes, he had to go around our clan to get over and look at the price of something. She said, he's been here for minutes because of us. And so I was really blessed by someone defended me, but I was just going to let it go. And then so we had this awkward moment, him and I was like, okay. And then so then I said, are you getting any of that fried chicken? I said, I eat the baked chicken, but I used to get the fried from my parents. Then he says, no, I can't eat that anymore. I had a stroke in January. I said, well, how old are you? He said, 59. And I said, can I ask, did it leave you damaged in any way? He said, yeah. And he stuttered in that moment. He said, I have a stutter now, and my right leg is real weak. He said, but I'm in therapy. And he says, doing a lot better. And I said, can I pray for you? And then they handed us our stuff, and we kind of got out of the way over there. And then I began to pray for him, and he just began to weep. And it was just this really sweet time in the Lord. And I thought, we didn't have a really good start, you know. And could have got real ugly real fast. But, you know, and I walked away, and he looked at me, and he just went thumbs up, you know. And so a lot of times you want the scenario to be a lot easier. You want it to be simpler, you know. And there was a time when there was a gal sitting out here in the chairs right out there, and she had a big old, like a neck brace on, and she was an older gal. So I think I grabbed Sandra with me, and I went, and this was my opening line to her. I said, "Man, did you know that neck thing doesn't go with your outfit? Can we pray that off of you?" She says, "Well, sure." So I started praying for her, and we both felt in the spirit someone come behind us that was not happy. And I knew it was probably a daughter. And so I turned around and I said, "We're part of this church here." And I said, "And your mom gave us permission." I said, "Is this your mom?" She said, "Yeah." So she gave us permission to pray for her. I said, "Are you okay with that?" She hesitated for a couple seconds, said, "Okay." You know? And her mom said, "Well, I'm okay with it. You just keep on praying." She said, "I'm a Christian, and you just keep on praying for me." So I'm just saying that there's times when we're uncomfortable, and the Lord puts us in scenarios, but he's looking for that time when you don't know when it's that person's time, that God has chosen you to get in the path of this person for healing, for salvation, for deliverance, that he has chosen the vessel, and that vessel is you for that person, that at that right time in their life, he's chosen you. And all we have to do is say, "Hey, Nini," to the Lord. You know, "You have my full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you?" So I just want to close this service today just by praying for you, just to see where you're at with the Lord. And Josh, where are you at? Want to come up and play a little bit in the background? That's like when you do that anyway. So where are you at with that with the Lord? You know, are you in a place where you want to give him your full attention? Are you at that place where you think you have and you're in a good place with the Lord? But are you in a place where you're saying, "You know what? I think I've been dodging the Lord a little bit here." And then have you given everything to him, you know, everything that's available, everything that you have to give him, have you given him? And then are you willing to say, "Lord, what shall I do for you?" And are you willing to get your assignment and be okay with that, no matter what it is, you know, no matter what it is? So, Lord, I just thank you for each and every one here, Lord. I ask, Father, that you would speak to their hearts today, God, that you would speak to us, Lord, in that place where you've been trying to get our full attention, Lord. Maybe we haven't been listening, or we've obeyed for a while and you had our full attention, and then stuff of life happens. Things get hard and crazy. And then all of a sudden we realize that you don't have our full attention anymore. So God, I ask that you would move in a powerful way, that you would get things out of the way in our lives, that you would we give our excuses to you, God. We give our good reasons to you for not having full attention, God. And so, Lord, I ask that this day that you would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see you, God, that you would open it up, that we can be able to say, "Yes, Lord, you have my full attention. You absolutely have my full attention." And Lord, everything that we have is available to you. And Lord, I ask that if there's anything that we have held back or anything that we feel like we've had a right to hold back, Lord, I ask that you would forgive us, and Lord, that you would put your finger on something, Lord, in our lives, even the hard thing that you want us to give up to you, Lord. If we say, "Lord, everything we have is available to you, Lord," do we truly mean that? So, Lord, systematically take our list of things that might be on there that we might not want to give to you. So, Lord, I ask that you would meet us in that place of full submission, that we would lay it all out to you, that we would lay it down. And then when we say, "What shall I do for you?" Lord, we're asking that you would help us in our hearts to have complete submission to you, Lord, no matter what it is that you're asking us to do, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us feel or how unequipped that we feel that we are. Lord, we declare today that we can trust you, for you are a good, good Father. And what you're asking us to do, you're going to equip us to do, and you're going to have our rear guard. You're going to have us, Lord, under the shadow of your wing. We're going to be resting under you, under your protection and under your hand. So, Lord, this day we say, "Lord, you have our full attention. All I have is available to you. What shall I do for you?" We just thank you, Lord, for what it is that you want to do in our lives. We say yes, Lord. We say yes to you. and all that you're asking us of, Lord. For this is an hour that we need to have our hanini in true good shape, Lord. So we say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me, God. Here I am. I hear your voice, God. Here I am. I will go for you. Here I am, God. I am available to you and all that you want to use today, God. We say yes to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.